Okay, so here I'm in the body scan, the DEXA scan van, and it's just like a normal kind of sprinter van style, more or less. I'm here with my man, what's your name again?
Freddie.
Okay, so Freddie's he's the man with the plan here. He's the technician, and he rolls up and he stations like next to Align businesses like CrossFit hosts them, and we're here in CrossFit Hollywood on La Brea. And so yeah, it's like a sprinter van, but in the back, you're not like chilling, drinking a cocktail per se. There's like a flatbed DEXA scan machine, and you know, you're recumbent on it. And there's a like very low radiation scanner that comes over you. It takes about like 6.5 minutes. Is that right? And Freddie's really cool. He like, if you have claustrophobia, don't worry about it. Just ask for Freddie because he's chill and he'll engage in good little banter with you, ask you some questions. So you're just kind of chilling out on the flatbed. And then in about 15 to 30 minutes, you get your results. And there's a lot of different kinds of metrics that you get, but it's essentially overarching like a body composition diagnostic. So some of the metrics that you get, Freddie, you might have to help me out. Obviously you're getting like key body composition metrics. So like body fat percentage, right? Overall like muscle mass,
lean,
right?
Lean body mass.
Lean body mass. Bone mineral density.
You're gonna get a bone mineral density report. You also get a VAT, which is your visceral adipose tissue. So visceral fat mass and volume. And then you also get your resting metabolic rate.
Got it. Mm-hmm. So your visceral fat, which is the fat that clusters around your organs, like your liver and stuff like that. It's kind of the visceral fat is that white fat that you want to avoid. It tends to be inflammatory, caustic fat. You know, you want your visceral fat, your VAT to be low, yeah. Right? And basal metabolic rate. So that's basically how many calories you're burning per day at rest. So just chilling, watching Larry David, how many calories are you burning? And if you can burn like, you know, 1600, 1800 calories or something like that, that's pretty good. So there you go. That's part of my experience here, getting a DEXA scan in this awesome little van.
Did you have to move around?
No, you stay very still. Freddie helps you maintain your stillness, your serenity, your equipoise. But once the scanner kind of passes your head, you can talk and engage in conversation. Once it passes your kind of waist or just below your waist, you can start to move your hands a little bit. But you gotta remain pretty like tranquil and steady to get a proper reading.
Okay. This is your first time getting a DEXA, right?
First time getting a DEXA, so I'm interested to see where my baseline is now. And that'll give me, you know, the metrics to work from, and I'll come back see Freddie maybe or one of his colleagues in like a month or two, and then just kind of see how I'm doing.
Did you fast before?
No, but I didn't pig out either. I had some like plain non-fat yogurt this morning, just kind of chill. But my sense is this is a snapshot of your overall health. So you're not probably gonna impact it too much in terms of like what you eat the day of.
You have a body composition scale at home, right?
Yeah, so we were talking about that. I have a body impedance scale, which is a decent proxy for a DEXA scan, but it's really like body impedance scales work well in relatively, so in relation to itself, but DEXA is going to be way more stringent and accurate in terms of getting all of the different metrics that we talked about. Okay, so Cooper, we're in a random parking lot in Hollywood here with the DEXA van. So is this your first experience getting a DEXA scan?
Yes, this is my first experience getting a DEXA scan. And this is my first time doing any sort of body measurement in almost a year.
Hmm.
So there was a long time in my life where metrics really ran my life. So I'm a little bit nervous. However, I think knowing what I know now about body composition, there's a way to look at this differently than just a number and look at it like my overall health and just not the monolithic number that just means nothing. So I'm I'm really looking forward to seeing if this will kind of change my perspective on body weight.
I mean, it's interesting, the idea of testing, because my daughters are taking the SATs and the ACTs, like, or they have been over the last few years, and it's like this like mark in time, this fossil moment, you know. But that's of course not life. Life is just one big process, and just like the ACTs, no colleges care anymore. So no one cares about what, no one else in the world cares about what your DEXA scan looks like.
Exactly.
But for you, like, why are you here? Why are you doing it then?
Well, I'm really excited about it because in the last 6 months, I have switched from being a cardio crazy person to basically solely resistance training. And I definitely have seen my body change in relation to changing the way I train. And the last measurement I had was based off just tons of crazy cardio, where yes, my body fat was very low, yet I didn't have a lot of lean muscle either. I was just kind of like a skinny cardio person. So I am curious to see how, I know we've talked a lot about resistance training, and I've seen incredible changes in my blood work since starting resistance over cardio. So I'm curious to see what this will look like in comparison, having a more balanced training split.
Yeah. Where I saw it was in my blood glucose, but that's where I saw a huge improvement after I started getting into resistance training. Where did you see the improvement post resistance, after joining the resistance?
Hormonal health for sure. Major improvement. When I was doing crazy cardio, I didn't have a menstrual period for like almost 2 years. And within 3 months of strength training, that came back for me. I also feel like I sleep a lot better. Certain areas of my body look tighter, I suppose. I feel like I have a lot more energy. But yeah, hormonal balancing for sure.
Yeah. And what, so are you, you have any misgivings just about doing the physical test, or you don't care? You don't give a shit about that stuff?
As in,
well, I don't know. Some people are like, they quake at any test or doctor visit, or in this situation, it's not particularly claustrophobic, but it's a little claustrophobic.
No. I'm not worried about that at all.
Yeah. Okay, you're going
all
in.
All right, thank you. All right. All right.
Hi, Cooper.
Hi, Jeff.
So we've gotten more interested in the last few months, given all the interviews that I've done with these doctors and muscle-centric medicine people. We've gotten more interested in body composition versus just like the number on the scale. So in light of that, you and I went on a field trip.
Yeah. So we met up in Hollywood outside of a Yogurt Land, and in the parking lot was the body spec van that inside you open it up and there is a DEXA machine.
Yeah. And to be fair, there was a CrossFit close by, but it was a very crowded, cramped little parking lot. We got in and yeah, there's this DEXA van there, and then you literally get inside the van and you lie down on a table. And I was a little worried about it, probably for different reasons than you were, because I'm a little claustrophobic. So I was like, oh God, you know, is this going to be like an MRI machine? But no, not really. It's just a scanner that scans down across your whole body and took like 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah, I think it's about 5 minutes. You are the only person that can fit in there. Like, if you want moral support, your friend or your loved one is not going to be able to join you.
Right. But you're not in a tube per se. So that was alleviating for me.
It just glides over you.
Yeah. And the output of this is really, really interesting and very, very quick, because just like an hour later, in one of my many, 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 many apps, there's your data. in terms of your total body fat percentage, your total mass, your fat tissue on a pound per pound basis, your lean tissue, and even your bone mineral content and the different parts of your body that have the most fat percentage, and even like your left arm versus your right arm. I mean, I wasn't that surprised to know that my right arm is actually a good deal fatter than my left arm, but I am left-handed.
Yeah, I definitely had my report had some side inconsistencies as well, but they were similar inconsistencies. Like there wasn't anything that was like, I looked at it and was like, whoa. But I think one of the things that I was curious about when I got it was, I don't know if you noticed, but you were put into kind of like a percentile, right?
Yeah. How was yours? I mean, you don't have to divulge it.
Mine was good. I was in the fitness category.
Cool. I see the different percentiles. And fortunately, I'm in a higher age bracket than you, so I have a little more leeway. But yeah, I was pretty optimal. And then I came home and compared that to the data that I got from my bioimpedance scale, which is kind of just a fancier scale that measures many of the same aspects. And candidly, it was very, very similar. I mean, the DEXA, people say, is always going to give you a more accurate reading than the bioimpedance scale. The bioimpedance scale is generally very good as a tool, like in relation to itself. But my data was pretty accurate in both places. So that was just me.
Anything super off, or was it all within kind of like a fraction?
It was all more or less the same. So like, and this is certainly no brag, but like my body fat percentage was 17. So that's pretty good for me. I mean, I don't know. I really don't actually have that much to compare it to. I know these like shredded dudes on podcasts all the time are talking about like 12%. 10%. My body isn't like not really that way generally, but given where I was like probably 3 years ago, if I had gotten in one of these, it's significantly better.
Yeah, I definitely had some significant muscle gains within a year, which I think had I only seen a number reflected on a traditional scale rather than in the DEXA scan, I probably would have had a meltdown at seeing how high the number was. But I think that's what makes this tool so incredible and useful, is being able to see the body composition. Like for me, I was like, wow, this is the heaviest I've been in a really long time. And this is also the most muscular I've ever been in my life.
Mm-hmm. Right. Great point. Because we can fixate on the weight, you know, the number, but the weight number really truly isn't a reflection of optimal health, because you could be 160 and have a very high fat percentage and a lot of visceral adiposity, for example, but you could weigh 170, but have a ton of muscle mass and very, very low fat percentage and no visceral adiposity. And then you're looking like, well, I'd much rather be 170 and have a lot of good lean muscle mass versus 160 and be kind of like thin fat.
Yeah, skinny fat is what they're calling it. Yeah.
Yeah. There's another one. It's like TIFO or TOFI. Thin on the outside, fat on the inside. Anyways, so this was cool and I'm glad that we did it. The whole idea is like you get this transparency, this dashboard into your own physiology and your own body mass, and then you take that data and you can work on it, and then you can go back and get measured again if you want.
Yeah. Do you plan on getting another one?
I think so. I mean, now that I'm kind of have a baseline and I more or less trust my body impedance scale, I think I can roll with that for a little while. But yeah, like every 6 months, every year or so, it's a good check-in, and it's really actually very inexpensive. And I think, you know, candidly, it's getting more and more popular. So I think it'll become, just by the nature of supply and demand, more and more inexpensive. And you can just go online in a lot of major cities and just Google DEXA scan, or we used BodySpec, I think is the name of the company. And then you actually ended up interviewing one of their chief people, but then you can just book it online. And they have like a brick and mortar center in Culver City, but then they have this van that like moves around to different neighborhoods, and you can find where that van is going to be most conveniently located to you, and then book yourself in that day and then end up at Yogurtland.
Yeah, they are typically outside of your general like fitness environment. And after we had done our DEXAs together, I reached out to the co-founder of Body Spec, Elaine Shee, and she gave me an entire overview of how the Body Spec van goes from this idea in two people's heads to all over the city. So
yeah, you can even actually rent a DEXA van if you'd like to come to a parking lot near you or even your own home. So maybe if people have that interest and want to deliver it at scale, then that opportunity is there for you. What else? You know, I know that you were nervous going into it. You feel kind of good about it now?
I definitely had felt really nervous going into it. I think not unlike a lot of people and women especially, the scale has been something I've had a real love-hate relationship with. I love it when it tells me what I want it to tell me, and I hate it and it can ruin my entire day if it tells me something differently.
It's like a husband.
Yeah. So I spent a whole entire year not using any measuring, no data. So I definitely went in really nervous, like, how am I going to react to this if it doesn't, like I said, give me what I want it to tell me. But being able to see what my body is made up of, which kind of, I did not have the same reaction as I would have if I had just seen a number in front of me. Hmm. And it made me feel really strong and powerful, I guess. I think we had talked about this one day of, but I think you and I have both kind of been more interested in resistance training recently. Mm-hmm. So also just being able to see the impact that that's had on my body in certain areas of my body, like as a former cardio head, right? Like just one of those endlessly ellipticaling and running and walking and all these things and seeing muscles. And by the time we got the DEXA, only really been on my resistance training journey for 6 months, and just seeing the, like, whoa, this really works. It was very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. My sense is it spurred me on to do more resistance training. And,
same.
And since then I definitely have. So my intuition tells me that if I went back, my body fat percentage would be lower and I'd have more just muscle in terms of pure just poundage on my body. And I wonder what it would do to my basal metabolic rate, because let's see, I did look at that. I think it was about 1600, which is pretty good. That's just like what my body's burning at rest. And that number generally goes up with the more muscle you have, because your muscle is more kind of metabolically active.
You just become a fat burning machine.
And then, you know, the other side of it is also like loving your fat. There it is. You see it. I mean, I'm looking at it right now on my screen. Ooh, I got a little bit more there on my right leg. And also knowing that, you know, fat is, you know, we love to villainize it or vilify it, but it is a product of an adaptive mechanism in the body. It also helps in other ways. It's an endocrine organ and it's a cushion, and you know, babies have a lot of fat, so they fall over all the time. They never get hurt. So there's a lot of attributes to fat, but really what it primarily is just warehoused energy. And when you think of it that way, it's like, oh, it's less, you know, triggering, because our relationship with fat is generally mitigated by like Instagram at this juncture, or, you know, just beauty standards, right? Which are then like hyperbolized on platforms like Instagram, is what I mean, really. But then when you kind of more just like see it for what it is, you're like, oh yeah, that's adaptive. And it really just means that I have enough warehoused energy to make it through a rough time. And that's just candidly, like, actually it's a more scientific way of looking at fat, but it's also a more, I guess, less shameful way.
Absolutely. And I think too, for female bodied people, you look at it and you're like, oh, duh, I have fat in the biological areas that you're supposed to for, you know, carrying children and all of these different things that, you know, there's, I'm sure if we were to look at our scans next to one another, there are places where I have more fat tissue that you just don't because of our genders.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And typically the optimal ranges for fat percentage are lower for men than for women for the very reasons that you just outlined. We talk about this on the show a lot, but like health is a reflection of the Goldilocks zone, right? Because, and of course it's so easy to be like, I want the least amount of fat as possible. But of course, really when you look at that, that's not healthy. What we want is that little beautiful homeostasis area. And that's what we're engineered for.
Yeah. When we were there that day, and I just remember you saying to me, like, you're the only person who's going to see this. You know, you're the only person that knows the results of your DEXA scan. You know, it's like, there's this funny thing that when we
until
get,
now.
Yeah, when we get on the scale, we somehow think it's like, there's some broadcast has gone out to every single person that we know.
Yeah.
Or, in, you know, or that's looking at us. It's just like, nobody cares about this stuff but you.
Right.
And I think that's an important thing to think about if you are somebody who gets activated by this kind of data. Is really, really useful. And also, it's for you.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Don't become neurotic about it. That's another thing we've talked about in other episodes, that, you know, there can be this tendency, sometimes we call it orthorexia, but as extended to metrics or biomarkers, where it's like you don't even know if you got a good night's sleep or not until you open your Aura app and look at your sleep score. And that's just delusional, because on some level, you should just intuitively know whether or not you're well rested just by dint of being alive and being sensitive to your own body. And so that can also apply to the numbers that you're going to get on your app from your DEXA scan, which might say 15%, it might say 20%, it might say 25%. And that number is really indicative of something real. But then there's this other level of like, well, how do I feel? And at the end of the day, your direct experience of what it is like to be alive is probably more important than the number. But the number can be indicative of health, and what you can measure, you can improve.
Yeah, absolutely. Scans like the DEXA scan allow us to be more proactive.
Yeah, it's about agency in that regard. And I often dub this time in medical history as the age of agency, because for too long, we've really just been a ping pong ball kind of between the pharmaceutical industry, our PCP, and insurance companies and food companies, basically. Our health is just sort of a ping pong between all of those things. And more, there are services and devices available that provide a lot of empowerment to the individual. I've talked about my CGM a lot, my continuous glucose monitor. I mean, that is something that I actually wear on my triceps. But not unlike a DEXA scan, it is a dashboard into my own personal vehicle, of which there is no second lease. Once you have that information, then you are empowered with that agency to do something or not. And very much like a dashboard in the car, if your oil pressure, tire pressure light goes on, or heaven forbid, the check engine light, you might blow it off for a day or two. But you'll probably not blow it off for much longer than that. And similarly, if you have a dashboard for your own human organism vehicle and the light goes off, well, it's on you.
I think a lot of times we may think of these measurement tools as something that may bring us shame, but I feel like something like the DEXA or CGM, et cetera, why not think of them as empowerment tools? Because they really allow us to see how much of these things that we've kind of been told are out of our control really are in our control to change.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to see that also allows you to continue with those habits. I think if we can start thinking about with regard to measurement, that is really fantastic, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm interested to hear your interview with Elaine. And Cooper, thanks for doing this with me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think I would have done it alone.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely wouldn't have. So I hope we get to do something, another fun little
health field trip.
Yeah.
All right. Count me in.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Elaine, thank you so much for your time today. Welcome to the Commune Podcast. Could you start us off by introducing yourself and telling me a little bit about what you do at Body Spec?
Yeah, that sounds great. Thanks so much for having me on. My name is Elaine Shi, and I am the co-founder and co-CEO at Body Spec. We are a large provider of DEXA body composition scans in the U.S. We have both storefront and mobile vans that are across five different cities, offering DEXA scans primarily for people to track changes in their body composition and also long-term health metrics.
Such an impressive operation. Our host, Jeff Krasno, and myself, we recently got our DEXA scans in a Body Spec van outside of a CrossFit. I think one of the things that really stood out to both of us was the mobile component. This was something, from my understanding, DEXA scans, the technology of DEXA was something very much reserved for folks being screened for osteoporosis, then veered into the professional athlete territory, then into the serious athlete territory or hobbyist athlete territory, bodybuilders, et cetera, and now has become a much more widely available and affordable measurement tool for common people. So could you tell me a little bit about that and the journey that the DEXA has been on?
Yeah. Part of it has, I think, is aligned with kind of, you know, our story as a company as well. I think, you know, it reflects that journey. So this specific company was actually my MBA thesis project coming out of UCLA Anderson, which was, you know, business school. And at the time, I'm not an athlete. I never played sports growing up or anything like that. I didn't know anything about my body. And in fact, before business school, my husband and I lost weight for our wedding by replacing our dinners with Menchie's frozen yogurt, right? Tells you a lot about who we were. So when we started this company, in fact, it was a business school classmate of mine who played football at the Air Force, used the scan frequently to track his own body composition, and then moved to LA and couldn't find it anywhere except for there was like a clinic in Beverly Hills offering it for $400 a scan. So it was actually his idea. And I think the original thesis we kind of had going into this was that this would be something that CrossFitters would use, right? And that, you know, it was really about the people that wanted the same tools as the high-end athletes. The US Olympic Training Center has one of these, for example. So when we launched the service, we were just like, hey, if we put this in a van, we can take it to CrossFit gyms and, you know, people similar to that will be interested. People really kind of optimizing for performance. Then we got this machine, put it in a van, and I got on the scanner. I got my results. I was horrified. And then I spent the next 2 weeks working out morning and evening at David Barton Gym in LA. And I was buying these paleo meal kits from like MyFitFoods at the time, whatever, and managed to cut 2% body fat in about 2 weeks. And that's when I realized this is not just for CrossFitters. Like, this could very well be for me, like someone that literally does not, like, I have this like vague desire to be healthier or fitter, but not really know how. But yet I was able to, you know, even make this small amount of change in like not that long with the right tools and the right motivation. So we started out really thinking about performance. Then over time, we found more and more of those people like myself. And part of that was because we ended up being, you know, one of the only mobile units offering the service. And so we ended up at places like Google, right? Workplaces, a lot of them in the Bay Area, a lot in LA, some in Seattle. And a lot of the customers we saw there were very, very similar to myself, right? Busy, right? Maybe parents or, you know, just busy people. And a lot of them in their 30s, no longer invincible because they're no longer in their 20s. And then just needing that spark of inspiration, of motivation. And a lot of them get that from data, right? So a lot of them are users of, you know, Fitbits or other kind of smart tracking devices. But very much, you know, if you are someone that uses a Fitbit and finds that interesting, and now, you know, Apple Watches, then you're probably someone that actually would be interested in the data coming off of the DEXA. And it just turns out that that's like a much larger group than what we originally expected. So,
yeah. So tell me a little bit about that. You had mentioned that most of your clientele are everyday people, and you would expect that most everyday people have a everyday home scale. But what are they getting from the DEXA that they aren't getting from their scale at home?
Yeah, no, well, the home scale, most home scales will do weight, right? That's usually what they're for, the traditional kind of, you know, weight-based approach to measuring your fitness. But nowadays, a lot of home scales will do some approximation of body fat as well, right? So talking about those two things, you know, weight, obviously an imperfect measurement of fitness. I think most people do know that at this point, that, you know, what your scale says does not necessarily reflect what's happening inside you. So many people come in because they have, let's say they started strength training, for example, and they're not seeing changes in the scale, but then it turns out they've actually been both losing fat and gaining lean tissue at the same time, which is incredible, but doesn't show up on the scale, right? And yet their clothes are fitting looser and all of that. So that's kind of the first thing. A lot of people really do kind of understand that. The second thing is body fat measurements kind of on the scale versus on the DEXA, and what does the DEXA include in addition to that? Most of the scales these days that are giving a body fat measurement are using something called bioelectric impedance. It shoots like a very, very, you know, small current through your body, and through the resistance can make an approximation of what your overall body fat should be. A lot of them will benchmark those in development, in like the product development phase. A lot of them actually do benchmark those on DEXAs. In fact, many of them have used our company to do that, right? And our DEXA measurements, right? So I think scales are kind of moving more towards kind of, you know, an interest in more accurate body fat measurements, which is great. However, the thing that the DEXAs give that most scales don't. So first of all, there are some scales that do this. The DEXA allows you to look at different areas of the body, which is both interesting and, you know, helpful when you're actually seeing, okay, did I actually, I'm hoping nobody does, you know, a month of nothing, but like one exercise, right? But, you know, if I were to do such a thing, like, did I actually gain lean tissue in my arm or something, whatever that might be. Different changes over different areas of the body are both influenced by genetics and also by your actual activity. So people are really interested in seeing, okay, so I did squats for the past quarter, right? I did this like, you know, incredible program. I got stronger. Did I actually gain glute muscle, right? Stuff like that is something that the DEXA can tell you. The other half of it is the really important long-term preventative health metrics, specifically the visceral fat. That is the deep belly fat between the organs, not the jiggly stuff under your skin, right? But the visceral fat is much more closely correlated with the long-term risk of diabetes, stroke, and cancer, and a whole host of general kind of metabolic health issues. And DEXAs are the easiest way to actually gain a measurement of that visceral fat. So we're looking not only in terms of, you know, the pure body fat, but also in terms of long-term health. You know, there's a lot that the DEXA can tell you and allow you to track over time.
It really does just give you such a bigger picture of your overall health. And one of the things I know it's really known for is measuring bone density. Could you tell me a little bit about that aspect of the readings as well?
Absolutely. So the DEXA machines were originally designed and are still used everywhere kind of clinically to diagnose osteoporosis. So the DEXA scan that, you know, you may get around age 65 or 70 is going to be a little bit different than what we offer. It is basically a scan of, let's say, your hip, your spine, and a forearm, and that will help diagnose osteoporosis. While we don't do that, our DEXA scans are whole body, so the bone density portion is not diagnostic, but it does allow you to get kind of an early sanity check or screening of whether your bones are strong today or not. The good thing is that if you're, say, 40, and you know at age 40 that your bones are already much weaker than average compared to other 40-year-olds of your same ethnicity, you've got something like 20, 30 more years than you would have otherwise discovered it, right? And that's enough time to make a big, big difference in your bone density through nutrition, through exercise, and lifestyle changes, hopefully, so that you can prevent true bone density disease down the line, right? So really, the DEXA, in addition to the other metrics, it is really the earliest way to sanity check your bone density.
And the reports really are just so comprehensive. I was blown away by mine and all of the details, everything it breaks down for you. One of the things I did notice was you are put into a certain percentile. So could you tell me a little bit about how data is collected and when you're reading your report, what you're being compared against? Is it people like you, your age, your ethnicity, etc.?
Yeah. So our company has been operating since 2014. So our database is very, very large. Probably at this point, you know, definitely over 100,000 patients worth of data. So what that allows us to do is that we can make comparisons down to a specific age group and to a specific, you know, ethnicity, and obviously to a specific gender, so that you're being compared to people that are most like you. That's important because you're ability to lose or gain fat and muscle significantly changes with your age. You probably know that, you know, as people get older, they lose lean tissue more quickly, right? There's a precipitous drop in lean tissue after a certain age. And so if you are, I don't know, getting real swole at the gym and gaining a ton of lean tissue at that age, that actually means even more. Like, you're against that curve of decline, right? And so I think it's really important for people to understand that we're looking at their progress, not in a vacuum. My grandfather and myself losing the same amount of fat, it's just like a different story. And so hopefully by providing those percentiles, we're able to contextualize one person's change against a backdrop of similar people and thus somewhat, you know, similar life stages and stories. And that makes it actually more meaningful for them to understand what their changes mean.
Wow. A lot of work must go into that. And it's so terrific to know how specifically you're being grouped. One of the things that comes to mind to me is like when you're getting blood work done, right? And you're being compared to the entire group of people who have had their blood work taken there. It's definitely not as specific. One of the other things I wanted to pick your brain about was the Vans. You're seeing them pop up all over. I mean, even today, it's funny, right before this call, I got an email from my gym telling me, oh, we're going to have body spec Vans outside the weekend of April 25th if you want to sign up. And I'm seeing this all over the place now. And I also did a bit of a cost analysis and noticed that this wider availability of DEXA scans via body spec has also made the cost come down of getting a DEXA scan, making it even more accessible and more affordable. So maybe you could speak a little bit about that access when it comes to the van and the price point. And I also noticed on your site, you have memberships available to people.
Yeah. So our company has three core values. And the first one is really that there is nothing without access. Even from the very beginning, when we were just thinking about this company, the real core of this was, how do we provide access to something that we think is going to be beneficial or just, you know, in some ways life-changing for people? And that is really the data that's at the heart of this, honestly, very quick, very uncomplicated scan. Access means a lot of things to us. One of them is pricing, right? And as I mentioned, when we first launched, most places were charging sometimes $250 plus to $400 a scan. And to us, that just seemed kind of wrong, not only because we personally could not afford that, but also it just seemed like, even if you could, is this the type of thing that is meaningful if you kind of do this once versus over time, right? As you change, as we go through various seasons of our lives, as we, you know, go through Januarys and then Marches and have children, all that stuff. Our bodies fundamentally change. Bodies are not meant to really stay the same. And this tool seemed incredibly meaningful to be able to actually track those changes, because ultimately it's just the first scan is cool, right? It's like really great. It's like you learn all these things, but it's the second scan that's like really magical. It's because like, oh my God, what I did actually work. It's the best feeling in the world. We have clients tell us, oh, I have my second scan report, and it's like on my fridge, right? Because I love looking at it, because this stuff happened in my body. So we really think about, how do we make it accessible to people from a cost standpoint? We're very, very serious about the pricing. We were definitely the first in the industry to cut the pricing down to kind of where it was. But also the subscription model is what allows people to, and on average, they're coming in about quarterly to see how their bodies change over time. So of course, we honor a lower price for someone who has subscribed, because that's somebody that has made a commitment to be like, hey, I do want to stay engaged with my body. I want to know how it changes. People are coming in on average once a quarter, some more frequently, some less frequently, in order to see how that changes over time. So most important thing is having that scan date on the calendar helps people stay accountable. So honestly, a lot more of the subscribers will lose a higher percentage of their body fat over time compared to the non-subscribers. And we really do see that.
Yeah, that's definitely an effect of any type of tracking or monitoring. And that said, I'm curious, from a body spec standpoint, what is the appropriate time in between check-ins? How frequently do you want to go and get a DEXA scan?
Yeah, it is an individual question. It all depends on what you're doing. So if you are somebody that is making a big change in your life, right, in your exercise, in your nutrition, we typically suggest that, you know, once a quarter is sufficient, but potentially actually maybe not even the most motivating for someone who is making a really massive change. We see people come in sometimes around the 1 month mark. They scan, they're like, oh my goodness, this actually is working. Even if the magnitude of change is like, okay, maybe it's 5 pounds or something, maybe it's 3 pounds, right? But it's actually, things are actually going in the right direction. That's hugely, hugely motivating. And on the flip side, if they're not going in the right direction, you want that feedback sooner rather than later, right? But then once, you know, I've figured out what I'm doing, I'm going to stick with it. It makes sense most likely to, you don't necessarily have to come in as often, right? Ultimately, it's really about coming in when that data is going to be most helpful to you. That's kind of why it's just somewhat individualized. We have people anywhere from once a month to once a quarter to sometimes once a year.
Gotcha. And what do you find that people are most surprised by when they get the results for the first time, or even just their first experience going into the van? I mean, for me, these are the two things that surprise me. One, how fast it is, and two, how quickly you get your results.
Yeah, many people would agree with you in terms of the speed. I mean, that's not necessarily the norm in, I guess, you know, traditional healthcare, but it's something that we take really seriously. I would say like the instant gratification is part of that motivation and that experience. Like people do really want to know. I mean, people coming into their scan, we see people that are so amped up that they cry when they get their results. But I think one of the things that we see most frequently is that people do not understand or know about visceral fat. And I think the statistic out there is something like, you know, like about a third or 30% of people that quote unquote look normal may be metabolically unhealthy. And the visceral fat is really a barometer of that. So it can be a big surprise when you come in, you've never thought of yourself as any given way or as unhealthy. And then you scan and you find that you actually have an unhealthy level of visceral fat. So that can be a surprise. And then usually when we unpack it a little bit, visceral fat is, you know, closely tied to stress and sleep, not just exercise and all that. But, you know, when we unpack it, I think it makes sense to a lot of people. But that I would say maybe, especially when we started, only about 5 to 10% of people coming to Body Spec knew about visceral fat. Nowadays, it's much, much higher. But that can be a big shock. The second thing that is severely surprising to people is bone density. I can count on like the number of fingers that I have, the number of people that come in knowing how bones work and why it's important to work on that early. A lot of women especially know they have family histories of osteoporosis, right? But truly, what are the things you have to be doing? Why does bone density decline happen? It is a big, big point of education for us that this is something you have to pay attention, right? It's the number one reason for injuries and hospitalization for older Americans is falling, right? It's just, it's crazy. And like both the bone and the muscle kind of are, you know, are related in terms of preventing falls and all that. But bone density is a really, really big one. People are really surprised that their bone density actually decreases, starts decreasing in their like 30s and 40s. And that's just way earlier than people think of as the age to worry about your bone density.
Yeah, it's such a powerful tool for your own agency. And it gives you tools and data to implement changes that you may not have to get to any of these health issues later. It's this, the DEXA can be seen as just this incredible prevention portal, if you will. I think one of the most important pieces of this scan is the visceral fat piece. More and more, we're understanding how threatening excess visceral fat can be to our overall well-being and longevity. And yet that's not something we're really talking about at the doctor's or having measured at our doctor's office. So a lot of people aren't walking around armed with that knowledge until they get something like a DEXA scan. And I'm wondering if in your own personal observations, working at Body Spec and working with people getting this data back, if you feel that perhaps with more people armed with this knowledge, there's a potential for changing the way we're thinking about visceral fat under the purview of the medical industrial complex and in a way that we're all able to access.
For us, really, it goes back to the access part, right? And this is why we run the vans as well. The vans, I will tell you, they are a pain in the butt sometimes. You know, vans are vehicles. They break down, they get stuck in traffic, right? But the vans allow us to make the most of the service that we have by putting it in front of people, as many people as we can. And everybody that comes to Body Spec is cherished. Like, we want to be there for them. It's a privilege for us to meet with every single one. It is especially meaningful to us, though, when we are able to get in front of people that would not have sought this out before. And we can teach them and we can help them make those changes, right? And the visceral fat element is the most critical one, really kind of for the most prevalent problems that we see today, the heart disease, stroke, diabetes, etc. So that's really our goal. We hope that we have a meaningful role to play in engendering that awareness. With every scan comes with a hangout and a consultation where we have a health coach leading people through what this all means. What can you do in order to lower your visceral fat? What are the easiest steps that you can begin to take that are in line with your lifestyle? If you're fighting the current, it's just difficult to make that change stick. And, you know, our hope is that really with the scans as this very, very accessible tool, we can actually help people begin to make those changes in a meaningful way that can help really put years back on their lives.
Yeah, it is so awesome. That's my hope too. And that said, what's next for you all at Body Spec? Are you continuing to innovate, thinking about new ways of bringing DEXA scans to people? Are we going to be seeing even more vans in more cities? What does the expansion look like for you?
We're well known for DEXA, and the near term, obviously, we're hoping to drive the vans to new places, new states, et cetera. You'll see a few more storefronts pop up for Body Spec this year. In the cities we're in, California, we're in Washington State and Seattle, and also in Texas, in Austin and Dallas. In the long term, we're interested in other technologies that can be used for preventative health that can be delivered in a similar way that we deliver DEXA, which is really high throughput and low cost so that it can really be as affordable as possible to people. Ultimately, I think that's how we think we'll make the most change kind of as individuals. If we can really be the tool that can get as many people access to services, to data, and, you know, at some point, potentially to interventions that can help them live longer. That's really what we're here to build. Not just DEXA itself, really, but Body Spec as the engine to deliver these things in a cost-effective way to people.
What an incredible mission. Thank you so much for your time today, Elaine.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you for listening to the Commune podcast. If you enjoy this show and would like to receive 30 days of free all access to a Commune membership, write us a review on Apple Podcasts. Just scroll down to the review section and tap write a review. Then email support@onecommune.com with a screenshot of your review to gain access to more than 150 courses featuring the world's top authors and thought leaders, all free for 30 days. And while you're there, make sure you're subscribed. And of course, feel free to reach out to our host directly anytime at jeffk@onecommune.com. We'd like to thank the folks that make this show possible week after week, including Jake Laub, Megan Stone, Violet Augustine, Silvana Alcala, Wellington Gonzalez, and Ryan Tillotson. That's all from the Commune today.